Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text this morning of our sermon is taken from the epistle reading, as Hayden has read it, and our theme this morning, worship the Lamb, Jesus, who is the Christ. Please be seated. My dearest friends in Christ Jesus, worship. Worship can be so human-centered. It can be so experienced-driven. It can be based upon all, fully upon our emotions. It's about being, well, it's about our well-being. It's about our improvement. It's about proving our faith. It's about us doing for Jesus. Anyway, that's what I hear. That's what I hear from some of my friends who aren't Lutheran. Oh, you Lutherans, you practice and you worship the old-fashioned way. But that doesn't concern us anymore. You see, we worship the right way. We show Jesus that we love him. We prove to Jesus that we are the ones who are enlightened. We show it with our emotions, and we show it with our praise bands. Is that really worship? Is worship really an individual thing about what we get out of worship? Is worship to be based upon modern day music, especially rock music? Is worship really based upon how I feel? Is worship really based upon proving to other people that I'm more faithful than you? I recently saw this in a movie not long ago. The problem was that this woman was having so many problems, and the problem was her faith. And everyone had no problem telling her that your faith just doesn't measure up. That's why you're having so many problems. And they were hearing the same from their preacher. That's not worship. It's not the proper form of worship. It's a emphasis upon misplaced preoccupations and notions that worship is about us. My friends, this is a conceited church today. The church across the world is a church that is based upon their own thoughts and ideas. Therefore, they worship like spoiled little children. They do what they want to do, and they do when they want to do it. They are narcissists. They are turned in on themselves, and they think that they can please God by doing special things for him, by performing special music, and by worshiping in special ways. You see, today our text shows us. It shows us what true worship really is. And in Revelation chapter 5, we see that true worship is based upon the Lamb, the very Lamb of God. And when your worship and my worship is based upon the Lamb, we have been set free. We truly worship in the way in which worship is occurring in heaven right now. You see, the heavenly host, by their very actions, are saying to us, worship the Lamb, worship Jesus Christ, for he is the one who has taken away your sin and my sin and the sins of the world. Why are we to worship the Lamb? Because he was slain for our redemption. His blood alone, here at the cross, redeemed you and me. You see, it should be obvious to us that not one of us hung here. Not one person who ever lived on this earth or will live on the earth today who will ever live. Not one human being born of a woman can save you by hanging on a cross except the God-man. The one who came from heaven. And yes, he was born of a woman, but he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was by his holy and precious blood, as he was nailed to this cross, that has washed all your sin away. By what I do cannot save you. By what you do cannot save me. It's what Jesus did right here. The writer of Hebrews tells us, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Therefore, His holy and precious blood has power. It has power to redeem you and me. For He Himself was the innocent one, the sinless one, the very Lamb of God. And by the shedding of His most holy and precious blood, all your sins are forgiven. John in his first epistle writes for us, but if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses you from all your sin. There is no sin, my friends, that Jesus' blood cannot wash away. Even those most horrendous sins that you're thinking of right now. Oh Lord, I've done this, and I know I can't be forgiven. You're wrong. Oh Lord, I think about this all the time. I know it's a sin, and I know I can't be forgiven. You're wrong. For the blood of the Lamb has cleansed you from all sin, each and every one of them. Yes, we sin daily and we sin much. That includes your pastor. I am a poor, miserable sinner, just like you. And when we fall to our knees and confess our sins, the blood of the Son cleanses us from each and every sin. Through His redeeming blood, we have now come into His kingdom. We see it there in verse 10. As you look at your scripture reading, take a look at verse 10. And what is verse 10 telling you? It says that we have come into His kingdom. But even though His kingdom is hidden from our physical sight, His kingdom is here. And it will finally be revealed to us. And we will reign with Him. Yes, you and I, forgiven children of God, we will wear a crown one day. And we will sit upon a throne. And we will reign with Jesus. That's His promise. How can we do this? Because of the blood of the Lamb. We can do this because He is the supreme Lord. The symbol of His supremacy is His throne. We see that in verse 13. For He sits upon the throne. He is the God who's created all. He created this earth. He created the universe. He has created you. And therefore, since Jesus has done the great work of the cross, He has been exalted. Paul writes to the Philippians saying, therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. Yes, Jesus' name is above every name because He was the Lamb who was willing to sacrifice Himself for the sins of the world. And His supremacy manifests itself. It shows itself. As you look there at verse 12, what does verse 12 tell us? We see that Jesus is the Lord because He has power. Remember what Jesus told His disciples right before He ascended into heaven? And what does He tell us, the church today? Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Did you hear what Jesus said? All authority. Not some authority, not a little bit authority, all authority. He is the ruling monarch of the rule of the world and of the universe. Jesus has all power. He is the Lion of Judah who has defeated your arch enemy, death and sin and the power of Satan. Jesus has all wealth. Paul writes to the Ephesians, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He has all wealth because he earned the right to have all wealth. He has all wisdom. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let us who boast, boast in the Lord. Yet, what do we hear from most Christians? What are they boasting about? They're boasting about their faith. They're boasting about their music. They're boasting about their church. They're boasting about themselves. That's the problem with Christianity today. It's gotten away from true worship. And now, instead of boasting in the Lord, they boast of themselves. They are narcissistic, conceited, spoiled children. The Lord, we pray, will have mercy upon them. We also see there in verse 12 that Jesus has all might. He is the powerful one. What did Jesus tell you and me? What did he tell his disciples? He says, no one takes it, my life, from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. You see, in his resurrection, we see that Jesus truly does have all might. For he was raised from the dead, and he lives and reigns and rules into all eternity. It is true, my dear friends, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, he has all might, and he has done this. He has done this great work for you and for me. You see, our Lord, he is worthy of our worship, for he is to be worshipped as the Supreme Lord. Everything on the earth, everything under it and above it, praises him. We see this in verse 13. The writer of Psalms in Psalm 148 says this, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. My friends, there is satisfaction. There is satisfaction in acknowledging God in Christ Jesus for who he is, the Lord, the sacrificial lamb. And in acknowledging God in Jesus Christ for what he has done. You see, there is a difference between all the other religions of the world. Only in this religion, only in Christianity, has history been fulfilled. For he came and he did what he said he was going to do. Only in Christianity was a man willing to die for his people. And only in Christianity did that man rise from the dead and ascend to the right hand of the Father. There is only one true religion. One true religion that is based upon Jesus Christ, based upon God himself. My friends, that is Christianity. For Jesus, he is your history and he is your future. My friends, we acknowledge this. We acknowledge this in the great Te Deum. Go ahead, take out your hymnal. Turn to page 35. And there in the great Te Deum Laudamus, you see it right there before your eyes. This is how we worship. For this is the very worship that is occurring in heaven. Starting at stanza 7, go ahead and read it. Stanza 7 through 13. There is true worship. And that is the worship that you sing when we sing the great Te Deum Laudamus. Yes, some people say that's old-fashioned. That's passé. That's useless. But I say to them, and I say to you, if the angels worship that way, if the saints in heaven worship that way, then I'll worship that way. For it is true worship, and it is worship of the Lamb. For Jesus is the worthy one. And since he is the worthy one, you and I, we must worship him and him alone. So as we close, When we focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be helped, for our sins will be forgiven. When we adore our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be built up there, for there is the power and the strength and the wisdom and the might of which we sing and worship. So let us only, O Lord, worship you. Let us not be like the others who wail their own litanies and cry out their own petitions based upon what they do for you. No, O Lord, we cry out what you have done for us, and we believe that you are the Lord, the worthy one who has taken away the sins of the world. You see, dear friends, there is really something very mysterious, very beautiful, and very, very uplifting. It's taking place even here today. As we worship the Lord, we worship him in spirit and in truth. And then we, as the four living creatures do there in our litany, there in our text, they cry out, Amen! And we too cry out, Amen! And we fall down and we worship the Lord. We fall down and worship the Lamb, for he is the worthy one. For he is the very Lamb of God who has forgiven us of all of our sins. Worship the Lamb, Jesus Christ, for he is the worthy one. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.